Father, we just praise you and thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that as we come together, your presence, Lord, with us is to minister to us and to, Lord, bring us, Lord, understanding, revelation, healing, whatever we need, Lord. Everything that is needed, Lord, you are more than willing to provide. Let us, Lord, exercise our faith, Lord, that we may understand that we have a part, Lord, in everything you do, and that's why you chose to operate. That we may be able, Lord, to receive everything you have done for us, and that we may be able to hear you this morning and to apply, Lord, your word to our life. Because that is what you want. That is the best thing we can do. That is what is going to bring us, Lord, victory and bring us blessings in our life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, we've been looking and talking about the adoption system of God. He has a plan, not just an adoption. You know, he has a plan and a system. And he has developed everything in detail, much better than any plan that men have today. Because he doesn't just look at the fact of, you know, the transition in which one comes into the kingdom. He also look at everything that comes after. And that means, you know, he wants us, okay, to develop in the mature people that he wants to see us becoming. And he has provided everything that we need. We have to understand that. We have to understand that his plan for each one of us is the best that you can ever imagine, that you cannot do anything better than what he is planning for us. And so the more you yield to that, the more you are willing to allow his plan to be fulfilled in your life, because you are responding to his direction in your life, the more blessed and the more happy and the more satisfied you have to be, not just in this earth, now, forever, for eternity, because you are going to live forever. Okay, we are eternal being. And so everything that we do here is just, this is preparation. We have to realize this is preparation. This is not the end of the story. That's the beginning. And what we do now has an impact forever. And God wants to know that. You know, I often use Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans of welfare, not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope." And really the hope is really the expectation that we have that is far beyond what we ever can imagine. And we have a part, though, to be able to come into that dimension, to come into that reality, because it depends on us. He just doesn't do everything, you know, there is a, he's just. And so what we do now makes an impact, make a difference forever. Okay. But he, you know, he has developed everything in detail, you know, starting from the way the world does it, you know, the only thing they do when there is an adoption, they have to find a way for the person to qualify, the parents to qualify for them. The parents doesn't need to qualify here. It's the children that need to be qualifying. That's this, you see, everything in the world is upside down. That's the idea. See, he just, you know, there are qualifications that we, for us to enter into the plan of adoption. Okay. And not only that, there are phases for the development of this plan because, you know, it's not just a question of being accepted. It's a question of developing the way he wants us to develop, to grow into maturity. Okay, this is his plan. And, you know, he just very clearly explained it in so many different places in the Bible. Even when people don't realize what he has done. Okay, Jesus came to do the first part of the plan, if you want. That means to make us able to get into the adoption plan. Because without Jesus, we would never have got in. He did everything so that everything was set up and prepared. Took thousands of years for that to be, for us to be ready to receive what Jesus came for to do. You know, God, everything that he does it according to a plan, according to the order, and is everything very organized to the minimal detail. He knew that that was the right time to send Jesus the first time. Because before that, weren't ready. But if you look at the impact, you can see, well, you know, we're ready up to only up to a certain point. And God is a, you know, it's a faith God, so he believes even when we just have to stretch ourselves up to get to the place where he wants. Because he expects us, he wants us to stretch ourselves to get into the into his plan, okay? But, you know, even when he gave the Great Commission, if you really look carefully at the Great Commission, you see the complete picture of the adoption plan. Not the way religions have been presenting it, but the way God thought about it. I'm going to read the scripture here and expand on that, because that is going to help us enormously to understand what the Great Commission is all about and is not what most of the people think is. Let me read here. Jesus came and said to, spoke to say, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. See, start with authority. Start with the authority that he has, that is all authority that he has. Understanding authority is critical to understand anything about spiritual things, because God is the highest authority and all authorities come from him. And if we don't understand authority, we are never going to go very far in our Christian walk. We can see some things that we are going to see just in a minute. How Jesus actually, you know, showed us the key aspect of understanding authority and the impact it has in our life. I'm going to just expand on that in a minute. I'm going to go in the following verse before getting there. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, the idea here is, you know, there is, this verse comes after the first one talking about authority. And then it says, therefore, because I have this authority, I pass it on to you. I'm delegating it to you to go and make disciples. So that's the passing of that the authority that is passed on to us. We don't have any authority in ourselves. Spiritual authority I'm talking about. All the authority we have is because we get it delegated to us. And when we realize that, we realize that if we are not connected with him, it doesn't matter what we are going, what we think about ourselves, we are not going to get anywhere. Okay, it's his authority, and we speak for him in his name. That's what it means to pray in his name. It's not a question of using a formula. We are just exercising spiritual authority when we speak in his name, and that means, you know, that actually we intentionally and you know, in on the inside and the positionally, we are speaking in his name. That means you are connected with him, because if you are not connected with him, you know, we are somewhere else doing our own thing, forget it, you have no authority whatsoever, and it's not going to work. Amen. It's his authority, it's his power that we exercise. But when you understand that, you know, when you say in Jesus' name, you are not speaking on your own, you are not speaking of your own thing, you are speaking, he is speaking through you. And unless you have that attitude, that perception, that understanding, you're just playing religion. And this is why often You know, people pray in Jesus' name and get nowhere. But when we are really connected with him, then the same result that Jesus got, we are going to get. So the same thing, you know, therefore, who believes in me? What does it mean, believe in me? Believe in the fact that he is what, who he said he is, and he has the authority, all the authority above everything else. And when we believe that with your heart, not with just your thinking of your theology or your ideas, you know, just your heart believe that, then, you know, the same authority that operated through him is operating in you. And you're going to expect the same result because it's him, not you. Okay. Now, so, and Jesus really, with this statement, with this verse, delegated this authority to us, and he got us involved in the implementation of God's plan for adoption for others. See, we are called to not get people to, you know, come to church. Didn't say get people to go to church, does he? He says make disciples. That means people following him, learning from him, developing with him, and becoming mature. That's the Great Commission. Unless we do that, we are not fully filling the Great Commission. We are going to do our own thing. Are you still there? So, you know, and so that authority is so important. You see, authority and faith go together. Without authority, you have no faith. Without, you know, faith, your authority is not going to function. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Jesus demonstrated that. If you remember, see, people that understand authority, today, there is completely rebellion against authority everywhere. The world today rebels against authority. Okay, and they do it. It's manifested everywhere. Okay, the people that really understand better authority are the people that live under authority. That means, for example, the military. And even them today, they're kind of getting off a tangent. Okay, why? Because they've been trained to understand how to operate in authority, and so they can exercise it. See, we had to train ourselves because God is not there taking the boot camps, you know, that they do in the military, in which you learn, and if you don't do something, the officers there are trying to train you, screaming at you and yelling at you and directing you and telling you what to do, and you had to be responding, otherwise you get in trouble. Hello? But we can see Jesus ministering, and he was there doing his ministry around there, and a centurion came to him, asked him, you know, to, he said this, saying, Lord, my servant, Matthew chapter 8, verse 6, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, it's pretty strange things for a Jew to say. Going to a Roman soldier that was a heathen and was going to go to his place, which was really illegal for a Jew to do. But Jesus broke all the Jewish law that because they were, some of them were just nonsense. Okay, and he proved it. Well, what happened then? The centurion answered and said to him, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, because he knew he had been there for some time. So he knew that he saw that the other ones didn't want to go to his place. Okay. But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Hallelujah. He says, for I also am a man under authority. You see, he understood that Jesus was a man with authority, under authority. He was under God's authority. Okay? Having soldiers under me, and I say to this, go, and he goes. To the other one, come, and he comes. and to my servant, you know, do this, and he does it. So you see, he understood the meaning. I mean, he just didn't think, maybe it's going to happen, maybe not. If you are in the army and you say you have to do that, otherwise you are in trouble. If you are operating under Jesus' authority, the authority is just greater than the army authority. It works in a different way, but that is all the authority that is there in the world above everything. Okay? When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who follow it, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel." Well, in some places there was not much faith there anyway. But you see, the thing is that because he understood authority, he had great faith. It's the only place in the whole Bible that Jesus said this person had great faith. And the only reason why he said that is because he understood authority and he applied authority to his own life and he was operating according to authority. Are you following me? So when we are really getting nowhere with our prayer or things, you know, it's because the authority that we have, you know, we don't have idea what we are doing. See, our heart has not received. Jesus said, you know, if you believe in me, the things that I do, you shall do also even greater work than this you shall do because I go to the Father. Okay, that means, you know, he has given you the authority. It's passed on to you. And so you are going to be in my place and you can do the same thing that I do. And he did, you know, he went around doing things, doing well, healing everybody that were oppressed by the devil. And it was never any defeat in what he was doing. It was depending always, though, by the fact that people went to him. Okay, and received. In Nazareth, you know, he didn't do much because people didn't trust him. He goes, "Oh, who's that guy? You know, the son of the carpenter." See, our attitude in terms of receiving from God is important. And when we minister to others, we should expect the same thing. So now, let me go back to the Great Commission. All right. It's talking about, we just finished reading, saying, you know, but, you know, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The baptizing is not just a physical thing. You know, this is what immersion, you know, you have to immerse in all the operation, what God wants to do through the three persons of the Trinity. The function that should be taking place. Christianity is a spiritual activity. It's a spiritual thing before becoming physical, manifesting itself in a physical realm. Let me continue here. So now, not only stop there, but it also explain how we had to carry out that function, making disciples. Why? What do you do? Teaching them to observe all things and have the I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Amen. So the idea is, you see, what we had to do is not just to do, you know, we had to teach them, we had to make them disciples. You know, today the church doesn't do that. Almost nowhere. When they talk about discipleship, what they talk about is Bible study. You think that's discipleship? Absolutely no. Discipleship is what Jesus did, teaching them to observe all the things. It's a personal, individual thing that has to take place in which they are taught, not sitting in the pews and listening to somebody preaching, but really dealt with in the things of their life so that they can change and they start to line up their life together to what God says, what commandments are, what Jesus commanded us. Are you listening to me? You know, in some circles, some ministers, we talk about discipleship. Oh, no, I don't want to touch that. Because in the past, when people try to implement it, implemented the wrong way. They were trying to control people. You know, when you get the idea to start with was good, the implementation was lousy. And so it didn't work. All the time, when a new idea comes out, people start implementing it, and the idea can be good, can be scriptural. I mean, if somebody got it. The point is, when, as soon as men come into the picture, the flesh come into the, also in the picture, and the whole thing gets distorted and doesn't work anymore. It happened practically for everything that the body of Christ has received in the past. There is never that things are going to go smoothly and go to the completion of the work that should be done. Always get corrupted in the way. And that's what happened at the beginning with the gospel. It got corrupted because it started spreading all over the place, start being influenced by the Roman Empire. And it was, so after they became a state religion, that was the end of the story. And for almost 1,000 years, the whole thing was darkness instead of light. Even the thing, people that thought it was light, there was lots of wrong ideas, wrong conclusion, wrong theology. It took 2,000 years to get where a place we are in today for Jesus to say, okay, now is the time to come back. 2,000 years. And it's been changing, it's been improving, it's been revelation, it's been given so that the people can actually operate according to what Jesus said instead of according to what man says. I mean, for thousands of years, people could write and talk about the Holy Spirit. They had not a clue of what the Holy Spirit was until 100 years ago, more or less. 2,000 years. And Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. Don't move anywhere. Don't do anything. Wait until the power is come upon you. 2,000 years for the power to come back. That's something. It's not that everybody was in the darkness, but there was so much darkness mixed up with the other stuff that the effect was almost nil. See, that's why Jesus had to wait 2,000 years. If we were ready, he would have come sooner. But we weren't. Okay, so we needed to wait for us. God knows the things, you know. He's the one that's going to say, okay, now is the time, son. Go down and do what needs to be done. And this Jesus said very clearly. When he's going to come back, what is going to come. And, you know, I think the important thing for understand this, reason why I'm saying this, is that the church should understand the function that the church has, the way God designed it, not man designed it. The thing is the way things are done in the church. I also preaching, showing also on Thursday, you know, is not what God designed. It's man's organization, man's ideas, and that's not the way it should operate. People shouldn't sit in the pews and listen to somebody. People should involve in doing what the Great Commission is. That means discipling. And everybody at their level can do something. The way it was at the beginning with Jesus when he ministered to the people in Galilee. Not everybody is at the same level, but not everybody is at the same level in the church. But the point is, it doesn't matter. See, there is something to do for anybody. The problem is the way it's organized, laity and clergy. That's the first thing that's completely off track, never been in the... You see, actually, if you see the actual meaning of the words in Greek, you can see that that actually is almost inverted. It's the opposite of what was intended to be. There was never that separation. This is man's separation, man's idea. And so said, you know, well, you know, let the guy up there, you know, do the speaking and doing the thing. I'm going to be leading, sitting there and warming the pews. That's not what the church is supposed to be. And that's not the church Jesus is coming to go back to. This is why today's influence of the church is losing all the ground. And the world is taking over. Because we are not doing the work that we should be doing. And I was saying we, the whole body. Not many are going to tell you that. That shows something else too. I mean, we have to look at reality and see what's going on and come to some conclusion. Now, okay, this plan of God is for us to grow into maturity, every one of us. Not just the pastor, not just some people that are involved, every believer is called to minister. And when I'm talking about call to minister, I'm talking called to serve in the body, to the people in the body and the people in the world. Ministry is service. Jesus himself didn't come to be served, but came to serve. And he was the Son of God. Now, we have to see, you know, well, the Bible is very clear about some things. And we can see that there are phases in this plan of adoption. Okay? Starting with, you know, and these phases depend on how are we able to cope or understand the authority that we have. The more trained we are, the more authority we have. Okay? You know, you don't get somebody just coming, you know, joining the army and you give him a bazooka and send him out. It's dangerous. All right? You just get him to clean the toilet for a while and come to some of the other works. Okay? So that they can get into the mentality of doing things, to obey the orders, to do the things the way to act physically fit so that they can do the work that they have to do. And then you increase the responsibility that they have according to the training that they received. That's exactly God's plan. This is exactly the way God does it. This is why it's, you know, this plan of adoption is just nothing else than the transfer of authority to the people in the body. Okay? It starts with being born on high. Okay, born on the Holy Spirit. That's becoming a spiritual child of God. Okay? That means spiritually alive. You're going to have eternal life inside you, the Holy Spirit being in you. Okay? And then doesn't stop there because you need power, and Jesus said it very clearly. So you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Because otherwise you cannot do spiritual work if you don't have spiritual power. So the two things go together. Okay? Well, you know, there was not much of that for almost 2,000 years. Okay? I mean, the whole thing collapsed very rapidly after 300 years. The place was a mess. Okay? Now, okay, so the children of God, once they become children of God, once they even were filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not enough. Okay, they need training. The training, we call it, you know, so the work that needs to be done, renewing their mind. And that is not just the mind, but, you know, the Word of God has to go inside them. So it's the discipleship that has to take place. It just doesn't happen because somebody just read the Bible. It's just there is the ability to train, to work, and to apply the principle that you're learning to your life so that they are manifested in the right way. Okay. And this is where the help from somebody that went through the same process before is going to make all the difference. I wished that I had, you know, more people to help me really to grow. Many things I had to go and do by trial and error. And there is a bit of trial and error anyway, but that's not enough. You should be getting results. It's very difficult to get help to get results. Now, God has a plan for everything. He developed his plan. And his plan is simply the fact that this discipleship takes place by the fivefold ministry. Okay, the fivefold ministry function is not to minister. The fivefold ministry function is to train people to minister, is to develop them, is discipleship. Okay. So there is a growing, okay. You know, each person, if the only thing they had to do to go to the Bible, they had to reinvent the wheel all the time. That's not what the way God implanted it. He planned that there is a transference of spirit, transference of experience, transference of understanding from one to the other, so that there is a coming together and quickening that is going beyond the person. Because the operation of the body, the way it is now, this body of Christ, is really not an individual, it's a collective. It works like a collective. It doesn't work individually. You know, a war against the forces of darkness, is you cannot conduce it by yourself. If you do it by yourself, the only thing you get is killed. Just the same as you do it in the physical world. If you are in the part of the army, you need the guy looking after your back, and you need the other one on your side, and you need the help that you need, and you need the training of the officer that put you onto a drill and everything else before you are going to be effective in the battlefield. Hello? Are you there? So the idea is very simple. We need one another to operate. This is part of the plan. The part of the plan is not, I'm going to read the Bible. Well, you know, up to recently, people didn't have Bibles. Hello? I mean, until the press came and, became more easily to get something like that, the Bible was far too expensive for anybody to buy. Now, anybody that is even doing nothing for the Lord are three or four Bibles, they're born again Christian. There are three or four Bibles in the closet there. Hopefully just not only in the closet. Are you following what I'm saying? See, there is a need. So, and we have to understand it's important, the role of the fivefold ministry to this adoption plan. This is part of the adoption plan. He's trying to make people grow spiritually, and this is part of the renewal of the mind. You cannot renew your mind by yourself. Yourself and the Holy Spirit is going to take a lifetime to get anywhere. But if you are at the right place at the right time, you will move very quickly. And because of the time we are in, things are moving much faster, even in that dimension. You know, I can see a big difference from when I started the ministry and now, there are so much that we can teach more to the people. You know, there is so much better understanding of the Bible in many points, in many, many areas, that they can move very quickly. And before, I was taking a long time to get anywhere. And just the same way as darkness spread faster, truth, light spread faster too. Because the truth is received and understood, and people can get some help, hopefully. Now, okay, so there are some scripture that I suggest that it's a very good idea to read them, memorize them, study them, meditate on them for at least a month, because they are critical to the next phase of what's going to happen around us in our personal development. If we want to be progressing according to a God's plan for the next, I don't know how long, because I don't know when Jesus is coming back. Nobody knows. Okay, hopefully we have enough time to get where we need to get, personally and collectively. Because if I look around today, I scratch my head and said, we have lots of work to do yet. There is too much religion and too very little power that should be there. When Jesus comes, you can expect that he's coming to a powerful church, not a weakly church that is beaten around by everybody. Because it's going to be a church that is going to be very much like many little Jesus. He's not going to come back to a bunch of pew sitters. They can't help him to do the job, and they have not earned. There is a part of earning the rewards that God is going to give us. Okay. One of the things that is repeated over and over in the Bible is that, that we may be worthy to escape what? The coming things. Being worthy of escaping is not just because I accepted Jesus. Be worthy of escaping means that we have changed. And so what we are doing is good works. The good works are coming out of us. Because this is according to what we are going to be rewarded. Discriminating, absolutely. But that's the way it works. God is not democratic. I often say that word because democracy is not God's invention. God is hierarchical. His authority is hierarchically distributed. Is distributed that way in heavens now with the angels. Is the same, is reflected even in the kingdom of darkness, but it also depends on the way we are going to be organized. Now, okay, what we want is really to understand how that takes place so that we can participate and prepare ourselves, because if Jesus is coming back and he's coming to the church, is prepared for it. We want to be prepared. Okay? If we are not prepared, then we are going to miss the boat. We are going to be, just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't do it, doesn't make us prepared. And this is what it's saying here. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4, starting from verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay. So, this is God's plan. This is God doing. This is not our man doing. It's not man saying, you can be this or the other things. God has to say that. That's the problem. That's one of the beginning problems. The only thing you have to do is to go and get a piece of paper, and you think that with that gives you the authority. Not from God's point of view. He's the one that has designed each one of us before even born, before the creation of the world. It all decided in the mind of God exactly what our job was and exactly what the gifts that we are going to have so that we could carry out the function in the body that God planned for us. Okay. If we know it or not, now we better know it because it's going to make a big difference. Okay, so now says himself giving, you know, this scheme, you know, what are the purpose of these things? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So that is the purpose. They are not there to reach the world. What about evangelists? You had to train people to go out and minister to people and bring them in. The evangelist is talking about here is the one that trains people to reach out to people. He's not the one that goes to go to the meeting and try to attract, call in people from the world. Hello? First time you heard that? Probably. The function is prepare. You know, prepare, you know, the church, the saints, where they're already saved for the work of the ministry. I mean, to be able to serve others in the ministry so that they are ready for it. Okay? So that the church can be built. The church is the one that does the ministry. Who are they preparing? The church. So the church is prepared to do the work. But if nobody prepares them and doesn't get them to do the work won't get done. Because people that should be doing something else are doing the work. And they cannot do the work because they're fewer and they does not their qualification. Let me continue here. Until we all attain, and this is important, this is the goal that we had to reach. That's the goal that God has for the fivefold ministry. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So, you know, number one, the unity of the faith. Is the faith coming closer to unity today than a few years ago?
I don't think so.
There's more confusion today than there's ever been before. There are more ideas that come every second month or every year. You get new books and new stories that have to do nothing to do with what we should know, and we waste our time and our money instead of focusing on the Word. Okay, so and the knowledge of the Son of God. So you see, that's a recurring theme. See what we had to grow into. We had to grow into maturing, okay? So it says here, falling in there, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see, that's the objective that they should produce. I mean, that doesn't happen by sitting and doing nothing. Doesn't even happen by doing Bible studies. It happens when you get your feet wet and your hand dirty and do the actual work of the ministry, because that's the way you are going to learn. And when you do that under supervision, under direction, the way that the apostle did when Jesus was with them. Now, the job that he gives us is the Holy Spirit, so that the fivefold ministry is going to carry the same function that Jesus had, because Jesus had all the five different characteristics that he's talking about here. Okay. And that doesn't mean that this is necessarily going to be five different people either. Okay. So now, so develop people to the place where the whole end is going to be, which is actually to become like Jesus. That's the function of the fivefold ministry, unity of the faith. That doesn't mean we just agree anyway, you know, the important things are not important, only the things you look at and all the other things. No, you know, unity of the faith means there is unity because people believe the same thing, because they found the truth. It's not a question of ignoring things. It's a question of knowing things. Okay. Then goes on. So that's the thing we are shooting for. The things that should be modified and changed is what's coming after. In verse 14, it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the wave and carried out by every wind of doctrine. Well, that is what's happening anyway. Every wind of doctrine, just everybody run to that. Next month, everybody run to the other. Everything, you know, they just go back and forth, calling about waves. Yeah, they call him about waves, the wave of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, it's not back and forth. He's moving on, should be. Okay? So, tossed by, you know, by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness in deceitful scheming. You see, that's the idea. You see, human ideas, human ways, you know, what men generally do is go after magnifying themselves, going after getting money, going after their own self, instead of really looking at what God wants. That's what's happening. That's why there are so many different ideas. Otherwise, there wouldn't be. If there will be everybody listening to the Holy Spirit, everybody will move in the same direction. The thing is, there is no way that the way we are organized today, that can happen. People don't even preach about this stuff. So it goes on. Rather, speaking the truth in love. You see, you have to speak the truth. You have to go after the truth. The truth is the only thing that counts. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that comes from the Word. So it's really, if you go back to that, you know, there are not going to be so many different ideas and different theories and different theologies. Actually, there is not much theology to know. And, you know, all the many things sometimes are expressed in different ways, but it's always talking about the same stuff. The more you understand the Bible, you see that there are actually fewer and fewer things that are really important because they are all coming together. It's the same thing expressed in different way for different aspect of our walk. Now, so that the speaking the truth in love, I mean, you know, sometimes you speak the truth and, well, that's not in love. Well, you know, sometimes you see somebody killing themselves, you don't correct them. You should correct people. You should direct people in the right way. If you see they're going to destruction, you're doing nothing. You should do something. But you know, today it's even difficult to do anything with that. Even completely, you know, ministers refuse to get direction and correction because they got the ministry. They got followers. Masses are always wrong. It's true in investment, it's true in religion. Why? Because masses are completely illogical and they don't go after the truth. They are carried around by their feelings. Now, speaking the truth in love, you know, that we may grow up into every way, into the Him who is the head in Christ, into Christ. So this is really, you know, the way the implementation plan of this adoption system is made, through this operation in the body. The body of Christ, the church, is where this adoption takes place so that we can actually grow from the beginning in which we are brought in to when we develop in the people that we need to be. So people shouldn't be sitting there. People should be active in the body, operating according to what the gifts that they have. And we talked about the natural gift that are within us to operate. So to know is not just the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just the way that we have been built up. And there are spiritual things, okay? The motivational gifts that are within us, okay, that determine how the part we play in the body. They are the spiritual gift as well, but that's, not all of them are connected to our function in the body. Okay, we all have gift of the Holy Spirit, and we can use them, but, that's different from the fivefold ministry. Okay, so we have to understand God action plan, the position, your position. Okay, see, we start, to take a position for yourself to want to participate in the plan. Understanding there is this plan. Understanding, that God doesn't want you to be there sitting, but want to be a component of the body of Christ and being a part of it so that the body of Christ can function properly, can grow, and can be effective in the things that God wants them to do. Okay, so that's a part of it. Okay, it is not just having services. Christianity is mostly meetings. It's not necessarily so. Ministry takes place anywhere, any place. In the street, in your home, everywhere. See, Jesus didn't minister just in the synagogue. Actually, went very seldom there or in the temple. There is a time to do that, absolutely. But that's not where the job gets done. See, the thing is, we have been so brainwashed into believing the church is what has been for 2,000 years, that we are bound by those ideas. We cannot even see how to implement the church that Jesus wants to build. It's not the church that men build. See, the church that men build is going to fail and is going to come apart. And that's taking place already very evidently. The church that Jesus built, the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay? Because there is where the power of God is, and he's able to demolish all the things of the enemy. Now, if he's coming back soon, we better get ready, because we don't have much time to get ready ourselves. And we want to be there. I want to be there. Okay? So if you want to, there are some decisions we have to make. That's what I'm saying. So first of all, okay, there are some steps, some position. We have to position ourselves as, people participating in this process. Okay, the first one, to realize, to know, to be solid in that place that we say God is faithful. To realize that there is nothing else that can move us. We are not there wondering God is going to come through or not. No, God is faithful. It is repeated that, in the Bible so many times that there is nothing else that you know about God. You should know that God is faithful. That means you can depend on what he said. If you cannot depend on what he said, then he's not faithful and then you're wasting your time. God is faithful. And so you have to believe that, because there are going to be some implication of that. You cannot stand on a place if you are not sure about that. How can you stand if you don't know? How can you trust somebody if you cannot believe what they say? How can you trust God if you don't believe what he says? So you have to take that position and have that stable inside you, not moved at all about that. Okay, then you have to stay in the Word, the other things. Okay. That means listen to the word, listen to God speaking to you, because he doesn't just reading the word. You know, he speaks to you when you are not reading the word, and the word is going to come back to you and he's going to minister to you. And yet then not only that, but you have to obey the word, because otherwise it doesn't do any good. You know, if I tell you something, you know, don't do that because, you know, that's going to produce problem for you, and you do it, well, you know, don't complain that you get problem. Okay, the same thing. I mean, God says something. Okay, so, but the word is the source. It's the source for our faith. It's the source of what I believe. It's the source for our direction. It's the source in which we go back to check ourselves all the time. Okay. We put our faith in the word. The word is God speaking to us. See, that's another thing. People that start believing, you know, the story of the people that the theologian go around saying that the Bible is not accurate, you cannot, forget it. You know, if you go that basis, you have nothing left. You may as well quit. You don't waste your time. I don't know how they can even waste their time. Maybe they have a profession that they have to do, because otherwise they don't get money. But if you don't believe that the Bible is something you can trust and can stand on, you know, you shouldn't be involved. Okay? So this is, you know, you have to determine your faith from the word, from the things, and stick there and don't give up. You know, spiritual things, spiritual results sometimes take time. That means don't give up. Be obedient and don't move. Those are decisions you have to make. You know, this is part of the process. Otherwise, this process of growth is not going to happen. Okay. So, other things. You know, you have to start setting your mind on things above, not on things below. That means your goal, your desire, your attachment, not on material things or physical things, but on things that are spiritual. Unless you do that, you are not going to be able to stand, because the enemy is going to hold on until you give up. And you don't see the result. Okay. So, set your mind on things above, on not physical, non-material things. Any material things, anything that is physical, is temporary. Spiritual things and truth is eternal. So these are basic ground is principle on which you can build up. If you don't have this principle, you're never going to get anywhere. And this has to be established within ourselves before we go to anywhere, before we can get to the next step, before we can keep growing. And finally, watch your association, your exposure, and the influences that are on you. This is critical. Even some believers are fleshy, and they will affect you. There is transference of spirit. You better check it out so that you learn to protect yourself. Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Okay. So these are really the basic principle. Okay. And then the final step, which is really they all come together. Okay. Take your place in the body. See, get involved. Position yourself to be active, not to talk about things, but to do things. Be involved in the body. And when I'm talking about the body, I'm not talking about in general, I'm talking about the local body that you choose to be part of. Unless you do that, you cannot be a disciple. You are not going to be a disciple. And you're not going to grow maturity. That's the way you're going to grow. Okay. So now, all right. Now is coming the best. Okay. I mean, we are talking about the end of the story here. We have, up to now, I've been prepared so that you understand where we are aiming to get, why we need to do certain things so that we can get to the end that we are shooting for, what the God's plan is, to line up. All these things are the components of God's plan, the one that he put together. They're not separated. It's just one plan. All the different aspects of the plan, you see, the whole organization is there. He has given us the blueprint for the way things should operate. Now we have to actually get into it to be able to get the result. See, it's like a machine working. If you don't get inside the machine, you're not going to get out on the other side the way it should be. Okay, so that's exactly what's to be taking place. And what should be taking place is that we become mature sons. Okay. Now, I'm just giving an introduction to that. You know, in the last probably 40 years, there have been a number of times that people try to move into this. But wasn't the time yet. See, times happen only, succeed only when is the right time to do it. And so they got off a tangent and they got, you know, lots of time they start talking about, coming into the sons of God, a manifestation of the sons of God. This is what really the Bible says talk all the time, you know, and makes a differentiation between children of God and sons of God. And, you know, according to, there's all children, but the point is there is a difference. And what is the difference? Manifestation. The unveiling, that's the Bible talks about that. Revelation, you know, is the same word that's used by revelation. It's unveiling of the sons of God. That means before, you don't see them. They're getting ready. They're getting prepared. They come and sometimes they hit and miss. But when they get to the place, it's not a question of hit and miss. You see one, you know it's one. Because why? Because they have been revealed. Are you following me? Okay, so this is the things that God wants to do at this time. If he doesn't do that, Jesus cannot come. Because the Bible says so. And Jesus has better come soon because this place is getting to be a mess. Okay? So, you know, even so, Lord Jesus, come. You know, that should be the desire of the heart of people. But the point is, you know, we have to understand that. And really those that get the message should respond to the message and line up with his plan, not the traditional men, you know. The traditional man made the word of God of no effect. It's long enough for that. I want to see some effectiveness. Okay, I want to see it in myself, and I want to see it in others. And I believe that this is what God is telling us at this time. He didn't tell it as clearly before, but it's becoming clearer and clearer. So, I think we have to close for today. We ran a bit over time, but that's okay. I don't look at the watch. Time is secondary. We have eternity. Praise the Lord. So let's come before the Lord in prayer right now. And let's open up ourselves. You see, because God wants to delegate everything to us. He has given authority to us, the authority that Jesus had. But we have to be willing to exercise it, understanding and applying it. So let's go before the Lord in prayer and let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. They give us clearly the direction that we need for these days. Lord, the prophecies that are happening today are clearly showing us that you are coming back soon. And Lord, we need to be ready according to what your word says. Help us to understand. Help us to apply to our life. Help us to become disciples, pupils of Jesus, that we may grow into all the stature of him, so that we can do the work that is required, the one that you want us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.